to in the Old Testament, the book of 1 Kings, and it will be in chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, very familiar passage of Scripture, a very familiar person or man that we're going to deal with tonight, and may have two or three nights on Wednesday night with some of the things that this man Elijah did. Elijah is one of the bright spots of the Old Testament when it comes to the kings that ruled in Israel. And he was the man that God used to confront Ahab with his sin. And he was used of the Lord. He followed the direction of God. He's called a man of God. And so we're going to be dealing tonight with this man Elijah. And the Bible gives us these folks that in the Scripture that help us to understand. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope." So these things that's given to us in the Scripture is to help us, and it's for our learning, it's for our understanding, for patience in life, that we could continue on in the work of the Lord, even in the midst of troubles and trials and the difficulties that come. And, of course, Elijah, he was faced with a lot of different things. And when you think of Elijah, you think of two wicked people that he dealt with in his ministry, as Ahab and Jezebel. And we'll be looking at some of those things tonight as we read in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 7. "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilgal, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt a drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt in the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." Elijah, the man of God. We hear in this passage, we have the introduction of this man that is known in the Scripture as a fighter, a warrior, and certainly uncompromising in his attitude and stance before the Lord and even before the king. There's not much of an introduction. There's really no introduction to this man, Elijah. He just appears. Here he just comes on the scene, and God has given him a message to give to Ahab, the king of Israel. The Bible says Ahab was a wicked man. If you look back up in the verses before that, you'll find that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he followed in the steps of those that were before him. In verse number 30 of chapter 16, says Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. You'll find in the verses before that, there's another king, and he did wicked, he did evil in the sight of God. Every king of Israel, after the division, King Saul, you have David, and then Solomon. And when Solomon dies, the kingdom divides. You have what's called the northern kingdom of the 10 tribes, and then the southern kingdom, which was called Judah. Now, Judah had some very, very godly kings, and they led revivals, and they led their people correctly and right. But when you read about the northern kingdom that broke off because of wickedness and because of sin, and they began to worship idols, they began to go farther and farther away from the command of the Lord, and you'll find every one of the kings of Israel were very wicked in their ways. And so as the king is, so are the people. And they are continually getting worse in their attitude until it's almost to the point that they don't even recognize the true and living God of Jehovah. But Elijah is called of the Lord to try to make a difference in the land of Israel. And you can certainly understand that he is probably not a very popular individual, because he's fighting the trend of the whole nation. He's fighting the trend of not only the king and his wife Jezebel. And the Bible said they did more to incite and more wickedness than any that was before them. And so he was not only against them, but he's against an entire system that is anti-God. He is fighting wickedness on every corner. But one thing Elijah has in his favor is that he is a man of God. And God gives him the words. God gives him the understanding. God gives him the courage to fight the battle and to go forward. Sometimes we think about Elijah almost like a super individual, because he comes on the scene very rapidly and he makes a very strong statement to Ahab that we read here tonight. And then he disappears off of the scene for a while, but God's helping him and God's dealing with him. He's not in the public view, but he's in God's view. And as he is there, the Lord guides him and directs him in different ways. The Bible says here that he was Elijah the Tishbite. He was from the city of Tishbe, and just east of Jordan, and probably was out of the tribe of Manasseh. The tribe of Manasseh was a very strong physical tribe. It was a tribe that was more rugged and had dealings on the outside rather than in the villages. And they lived their life in the open air. And they were very rugged and very strong people. And so Elijah comes on the scene, and he's a powerful man physically, I'm sure. But more than that, he's a powerful man spiritually. And the Lord uses and directs him. And his time here with the king of Israel was very important to try to call them back unto the word of God. So this man of God, Elijah, he was a bold prophet of God. He didn't mince words. He didn't make statements that you could take one way or another. He was not a compromiser. And we read here tonight in verse number 1, when he is just comes on the scene, the first thing he says is that, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And I'm sure Ahab thought, well, that's pretty presumptuous for you to say according to your word. But Elijah's word was the word of God, and God had given him the message. And so we find, as he stands before the king, he said, "It's not going to rain. You're not even going to have the wetness, the dew of the morning." And he said, "It's going to last until I say it's over." And he comes to Ahab and gives him that message. And then immediately the Lord calls him away. And I'm sure that Ahab was a very wicked individual, as the scripture tells us. And I'm sure when he heard the words of Elijah, he didn't think too much about it. He's just someone from the east of Jordan. He doesn't really know what he's talking about. He's not going to have any power, any authority. But all of a sudden, while Elijah's off the scene as far as they were concerned, all of a sudden things begin to dry up, because guess what? There's no rain and there's no dew. There's no moisture. And just as Elijah had proclaimed that it would be that way. And the next time he meets Ahab is in chapter number 18. And verse number 17. Let's look at verse number 1 first in chapter 18. "It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year." Now he's been off the scene 3 years. And so God, now the Lord comes to him. Jehovah comes to where he is. And he says, "Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Can you imagine what it would be like not to have rain, not to have moisture, not to have dew for 3 years. We get in trouble here in our country if it's just a few weeks. We begin to feel it in just a few days in the middle of the hot summer. The ground begins to parch and things dry up. I've seen, and you've seen also, the yards in October, August, September, October, sometimes be as brown as these pews because there's been no moisture, and that's just been a few weeks without rain. Can you imagine what it was like to not have any rain for 3 years? So Elijah gives him the message. He disappears, and the next time Ahab sees him, it's 3 years down the road. And I'm sure Ahab remembered Elijah. I'm sure he remembered his words, and I'm sure that he understood that what he had said had come to pass. Now look in verse number 17. Here he is told of the Lord in verse 1 and 2 to go in verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" You're the one that is troubling Israel. Your word said it wouldn't rain, it hasn't rained, and it's your fault. You know, sometimes messengers get the problem of giving the message that God has given them. And Elijah got in trouble because he was just speaking the word of the Lord. And Ahab said, "You're the one that troubles Israel." Well, it wasn't Ahab that was troubling Israel. Elijah that was troubling Israel, because the Lord had troubled Israel because of the wickedness of Ahab. And notice here the strong words of this man, Elijah, in verse number 18. "And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou." Now that's pretty strong words for a prophet of God to be standing before the king of Israel. And he said, "It's not me that's troubling Israel, but you're the problem. Now look in a mirror and you'll see the problem in Israel." He says, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather me all of Israel to Mount Carmel." And we know the story. Elijah said, "We're going to find out who really is God." And so here we find that Elijah was very bold in his proclamation. He was not fearful in his words because the Lord had given him the words, and he believed God, and he accepted what the Lord had told him, and he just stands before Ahab, and he said, "You're the problem." He named the reason for the drought in Israel, and he made it very clear that it was not the prophet of God, it was not God, but is the wicked king of Israel that had led the people the wrong direction, the wrong way. Not only he, but his fathers, those that were before him. And he began to name the problem. He began to name the sin. And we are told to do that all through Scripture. The Bible says in Isaiah 58, verse 1, says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins." As a proclaimer of truth, you and I, as a believer, we are to tell people the truth. We're to tell them what is really the reason. Sounds our voice like a trumpet, the clarion call of the trump of God. And we show people, and we are to tell people that they need God. They're just sinners. They're in transgression. Now, the world doesn't want to hear that, and sinners don't want to hear that, but that's what they have to hear. That's what they have to believe and accept before they can ever come to God. And so the Lord tells us to cry aloud and not to spare, and to lift up our voice and then tell the truth about their sins. Paul told Timothy, we've read this many, many times, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and his appearing of kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season." And he goes on, we reprove, we rebuke, we exhort. All those things that come about by preaching. But we are commanded to proclaim truth. Psalm number 40 and verse number 9. The psalmist says, "I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest." And there David is saying, he said, Lord, you know that I have proclaimed truth and that we are proclaiming the word of God. And so we find that when Elijah said, it's not I that's troubling Israel, but it's you, he just simply was pointing out their particular sin that was in their life. He not only talked about that personal sin, but he talked about the sin in all the folks. When you get to verse number 21 in chapter 18, there you are in the midst of the conflict between the prophets of Baal and Elijah. And he comes to the people and talks to the folks of Israel, says, how long halt ye between two opinions? They were just up and down, in and out, back and forth. And Elijah said, how long are you going to be of really of no opinion? And he said, if the Lord, if Jehovah be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the Bible says here, the people answered him not a word. You see, when you confront people with truth, most of the time, if they say anything, it's wrong. But many, many times, they have nothing to say because they know that you've given them the truth. And so he says, if Jehovah is God, then we're going to follow him. But if Baal be God, then we'll follow him. And he says, let's see which one will answer by fire. And so they were very presumptuous. They were very ignorant in their lives. And their silence showed either their ignorance or their arrogance, one of the two. And they just were silent before them. And so they were faced with the subject of who is God. Who's really going to prove himself? And who's going to answer by fire? And of course, we know the rest of the story about what took place that day. And when it's all said and done, Elijah had won the victory through the Lord. And those prophets of Baal were killed. And they were taken away. And the man of God was victorious in his work. And so they come to the point, Elijah is that strong spiritual man that just simply is telling what the Lord told him to say. He got in trouble many, many times. When we say just what the book says, we get in trouble. The world does not want to accept it. They do not want to hear it. And so therefore, all of a sudden, we're the ones stirring up the trouble. But it's not us. It's not us that's our problem. We're telling them their problem, and they do not want to hear it. Ahab was a wicked, wicked man. And of course, we know his wife was worse than he was. He was covetous. He was a killer. He sat by and watched people kill the prophets of God and did nothing about it. And he just didn't care anything. Had no understanding anything about God. Here he is, the king of Israel. What a great history Israel has had. And now they've gone to the depths of despair, and they've gone down, all the way down to not even knowing who the Lord is, from leadership all the way down to the lowest of man of poverty. That has happened all through history. There have been nations that have stood for God, and then they have fallen because they turned their back. If we're not careful in America, I'm afraid we're doing the same thing. Paul faced enemies. We face enemies. Paul had a great enemy there in 2 Timothy 4. He calls him by name Alexander the coppersmith, a maker of copper, different things, ornaments and things. Paul says he did me much evil. He fought against the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And Paul just prayed to the Lord, said the Lord reward him according to his works. I don't want some godly person praying that they would have the Lord reward me according to my works, because they will not stand. Can you imagine Paul praying against you? Alexander the coppersmith, he's done me much evil. Lord, just give him what he deserves. That's really what he meant. And so we find that Elijah stands before Ahab. And Ahab, been 3 years now, and I'm sure Ahab every day, all the first week or so, he didn't think too much about it. Maybe the first month, 6 weeks.
But you get that first year over, and that second year over, and that third year over, I'm sure Ahab remembered very explicitly the words of Elijah. Elijah said, Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say. Now, that's a whole lot of power for a man to have. But I have to remember, he's a prophet of God. And he was speaking for the Lord. And I'm sure by the time he meets him now in chapter 18, that Ahab and Jezebel are furious against this man, Elijah. You're the problem, Elijah. Are you the one that's troubling Israel? I remember what you told me, and you're troubling Israel. Well, it wasn't Elijah, but it was Ahab. And Elijah told him point blank what the problem was. And people of God, sometimes we have to be point blank. We don't have to dance around it. We just say what God says and let him have his direction in our life. Elijah was a man that not only was he a prophet that was able to proclaim the truth, but he was a prophet, a man of God, that could believe as he prayed and prayed as he believed. The scripture says that the Lord gave him the message, and he delivers it to Ahab there in chapter 17, verse 1. And he believed what God told him, and he delivered the message unto Ahab. There's two basic results of prayer. You have praying, believing, and receiving. The other side of it, you have praying, doubting, and do without. You either believe and pray, and God blesses, or you pray and you really doubt it, and God doesn't give any answer to that. And so here we find that Elijah believed God. Elijah trusted the word of the Lord, and he trusted really the word of the Lord to the extent of offering his life. Because he said, we're going to find out who God is. We're going to find out who the real Lord is and who Jehovah is. And if he's God, then you're going to have problems with the prophets of Baal. But on the flip side of that, Elijah said, if Baal be God, then I've got a problem. Then we'll serve him. And of course, we understand that if Baal had been God, they'd have destroyed Elijah in a moment. They would have anyway if they could have, but God had protected him. And so we have a lot of examples in the Bible about praying and believing and trusting. The Lord himself said, you have not because you ask not. And then he puts a little footnote to that. He says, and sometimes you ask amiss or you ask wrong. And Paul is a good example of praying. And he says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete. Of course, we know this is when Paul was on the ship. And he said, there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am. And he said, he told me to fear not. You see, Paul had the same attitude of Elijah. He had the message of the Lord, and he was willing to stand and to proclaim that. He believed the promise of the Lord. He says, for I believe God, and just as it was told me there in the book of Acts. Elijah believed the promises of the Lord. 1 Kings 8:56 says, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised, and hath not failed one word of his good promise, and he is promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. So he understood, he knew, and believed that God had his promises for his people. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 36, we see that he believed in the power of prayer. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the God, Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. So there's the promise of the power of God that he believed unto them. There's his prayer. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that this people may know. He said the prayer that I pray and the actions that we do is simply that the people of God might know that you are Jehovah, that you are God. In verse number 38 of chapter 18, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. Interesting story if you look at all the details of what takes place that day. Here you are in the midst of a drought of over 3 years, and they're trying to prove who God is. And the prophets of Baal, they scream, they holler, they cut themselves, and Elijah's over there mocking them and says, maybe he's asleep, maybe he's gone on a trip, and maybe he just cannot hear you. Well, a false god cannot hear. An idol cannot respond. An idol cannot give any answer. And Elijah knew that. And so he stood on the ground of his promises of the Lord. And he just simply prayed that little short prayer. And God sent the fire from heaven. God answered his prayer. And the Bible says in verse 39, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. That's the people. They're there watching all day long what has transpired. The people of Israel, they've seen the prophets of Baal. They've gone through all their emotions and all their things. And they see the fire come down from heaven at the end of I think it's 62 or 3 words. And Elijah prayed and God sent the fire. And the people said, the Lord, Jehovah, he is God. Really the words there, Jehovah is Elohim. He is God. He is the supreme. He is who we have been taught in days gone by. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Elijah gives him the message. Can you imagine? Here's Ahab, and he's sitting there watching all the commotions of the day, and Elijah, that he hates dearly and hates so strongly in his heart, prays that short prayer and God sends fire and he has to watch it. He sees those prophets of Baal taken and they are killed. And now Elijah turns to Ahab. I wonder what Ahab thought when he began to speak to him. Am I next? But Elijah had the message of the Lord. 3 years before he said it's not going to rain except at my word. Now all this has transpired. And Elijah says unto this wicked king Ahab, get thee up. Just get up and eat because it's going to rain. And it wasn't long until the rain came. Elijah, man of God. Elijah, the prophet of God. He believed what the Lord told him. Elijah was the man of God, the prophet of God that practiced what he believed. He lived what he believed. He stood upon those many, many things. And you can see in verse number 31 of chapter 18 on down to where we read a while ago where the fire fell, you'll find that he practiced his beliefs. God gave him the things that he's to do. He takes the 12 stones. He takes the water. I've always thought it's very interesting to realize 3 years of no rain. Guess what a sparse amount of water there was. And Elijah says, get the barrels of water. I've always wondered where they came from. I've always wondered how they maintained that, how they brought them. But they fill those barrels with water, and he says, just pour it on the ground. Pour it on the sacrifice. Do it again. And And the Bible says there was so much that run around the trenches and ran over. But when God sent the fire, he licked up all the water and even the dust around it. And I said, how in the world, all that water, would there be any dust? And so here's a story that cannot be. And these folks, as they watched that, that had to be a testimony that there is a God in Israel. And that he loved his people, even though they had gone against him. Even though they had rebelled against the Lord and rebelled against the word of the Lord. Here's the man, Elijah. He just comes on the scene. We don't know anything about his background. We don't know anything about his childhood. We don't know anything about how he became a prophet of God. It just says Elijah stands before Ahab. I believe there are people all across this world tonight that would be sort of classified as an Elijah. We may not know them. We may not ever understand where they came from. You may not know too much about their background, but there are people all across this world tonight that are proclaiming the Word of God. Oh, we may not be as many as we're used to have. We may not be in the majority, and we never really have been in the majority. But I'm glad God knows where we are. God knows what our need is. And if God needs to send fire, he can still do that. In the midst of a drought, God can make barrels of water and to be poured on a sacrifice to prove without any shadow of a doubt that there's no trickery involved. Elijah said, we're going to see which one answers by fire. And so he drowned, he doused everything to the point that there could be nothing that could be trickery about what was going to happen. And God sent the fire and licked it all up, took care of it, consumed it all. And the Bible even says consumed the stones. And so we find that God provided according to the word of Elijah, man of God, prophet of God. Really, the reason that God provided, because it wasn't necessarily the words of Elijah. It was the words of the Lord. And all that Elijah was and all that you and I are tonight are just messengers. We don't have any word that matters. We don't have any power. I can't call fire. I can't raise the dead. I can't do any of those things. Now, there are some charlatans out there that say they can, and they do a lot of trickery and do a lot of things, but we can't do that. Only God can. And all we are the messengers of the Lord. And when God tells us, and when God gives us an impression, I've been around people when, maybe that you don't even know, or and there's an impression on your heart, you ought to say something to that individual. Then that's when we need to be the person of the Lord, be faithful, and do what he tells us to do, and he'll show himself to be God. We don't show him to be God. He does it all by himself. And all that we are is just the messenger of the Lord. We do not have in our New Testament economy, we do not have prophets of God. We just have proclaimers of truth. We have preachers. We have witnesses. We have Christians. And all that we are commanded of the Lord is to be found what? Faithful. In all things that we do, just be found faithful. And God can give the increase. God can prove to that neighbor. God can prove to that brother, sister, even mother, father. God can prove to that loved one that we know they need God. God can prove himself to them. But he might just need us to be the messenger, to be like Elijah and say, I'm not your problem. You're your problem. And you just need the Lord. May God help us to be found faithful in the work and the workings of the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ.